Hallelujah. Amen. I can't go in with all the prophets. I can't go in with the martyrs. But when them sinners say by grace. Yes. Woo! Yes. Praise God, I go in with them. And John said, I saw a number no man could number. I've already been seen. Shouting, praising God throughout all eternity. Oh, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself. For the Lord himself shall de- For the Lord himself. That felt good. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Shall be caught up. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And the last thing John the Revelator said was, Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm glad the best is yet to come. 1775, April the 19th, one early spring morning. There was a little village called Concord Village. On the outside of that village was a little creek that run through that country. And that was a little bridge that spanned the banks of that creek. On one side of that bridge that early morning was a band of soldiers called the Redcoats. They were sent here from the King of England to stop the revolution that was happening in this country. On the other side of that bridge was another band of soldiers called the colonists. Farmers and merchant men and preachers and just good old boys. Men that laid it all down to carve out this nation that you and I, listen close, have had the privilege to live in all these years. And as those two armies met that fateful spring morning, one side or the other fired the first shot. Now, they've been arguing all these years who fired the first shot. Some say the colonists fired the first shot. Some say the Redcoats fired the first shot. I know this. I know who fired the last one, praise God. But whoever it was that fired that first shot, It has gone down in your American history book as the shot that was heard around the world. They said that little musket shot off of the banks of Concord Village and reverberated across the Atlantic Oceans and echoed off the halls of Parliament. A shot that was heard around the world. I don't know all about that because I wasn't there. But I know according to this text, one of these days it's not going to be a shot, but it's going to be a shout. And it will be heard around the world. I'm not looking at a bunch of silly signs. I'm a listening for the shout. The shout that will announce the arrival of the King of every king and the Lord of every Lord. When that shout takes place, three things are going to happen. Number one, the return of the Savior. The text I read tonight says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. You know what I love about that verse, the Lord himself? That lets me know who's coming. Not a fake Jesus. Not a false Jesus. Not a frivolous Jesus. Not a fairy tale Jesus. Not somebody that's masquerading and acting like Jesus. But the Lord himself. The very King of kings and the very Lord of lords. The Lord himself. When God got ready to save the world from the flood, he sent Noah. When God got ready to start a holy nation, he sent Abraham. When God wanted to emancipate Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he sent Moses. When he needed a man of God to stand against the wicked people of his day, he sent Elijah. When he needed a prophet down in the wicked halls of Babylon, he sent Daniel. When he needed somebody to prepare the way for the first advent of his son, he sent John the Baptist. When he needed an apostle to the Jew, he sent Peter. And he needed one to the Gentile, he sent Paul. But saints on the tabernacle tonight, I've got to tell you. When he gets ready for his church, when he gets ready for his body, when he gets ready for his building, when he gets ready for his bride, he is not going to send Noah. He is not going to send Abraham. He is not going to send Moses. He is not going to send Elijah. He's not going to send Daniel. He's not going to send John the Baptist. He's not going to send Simon Peter nor the Apostle Paul. But the Lord himself, when he gets ready to come to claim his own, an angel's not coming. An earthly priest is not coming, an earthly prophet's not coming, but the Lord himself, not a fake, not a phony, not an imposter, but the Lord himself. I love the words of Acts chapter 1 in verse number 11. When Jesus ascended on high, the Bible said there were two men that stood by him in white apparel, and they looked down and said, "Hey, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing in the heaven? For this same Jesus, not another Jesus, not a fake Jesus, not a phony Jesus, not a fairy tale Jesus, not a frivolous Jesus, but this same Jesus, the one that the Bible said, the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon his name. The one the Bible said, this same Jesus, God hath made both Lord and Christ. The one the Hebrew writer said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This same Jesus. I'm talking about the one that was coexisting with the Father before the foundation of the world. I'm talking about the one that was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the one that was born and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger and the angels sang the glory down. I'm talking about the one that astounded the doctors and the lawyers in the temple at the age of 12. I'm talking about the same Jesus that was baptized in Jordan and the dove flew from the throne and it hovered over his shoulders and God Almighty got full of preach and he leaned over the balcony of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." The same one that walked the shores of the Galilee. The same one that gave sight to the blind. The same one that unstopped the ears of the deaf. The same one that loosed the tongues of the dumb. The same one that straightened out the cripple. Watered the thirsty. Fed the hungry. Befriended the lonely. Raised the dead. And saved the sinner. The same one that prayed in Gethsemane. Till he sweat as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The same one they took to Gabbatha and they beat beyond recognition. The same one that put a cross on his back and stomped his way up Calvary's brow and they impaled him to two wooden beams. The same one that in the pathos of his suffering he cried, "It is finished." The same one they put in Joseph's tomb. The same one they put a stone in front of the door. The same one that the devil said, "I got him." And the same one the Roman soldier said, "We stopped him." And the same one that Pilate said, "He's gone forever." Oh, but the same one early one Easter Sunday morning, you talk about an earth-shaking event. The stone was rolled away. And up from the grave he arose with the mighty power of his foes. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. The same one that peered unto his disciples and said, "I'm he that liveth and I was dead, but behold I'm alive forevermore." The same one that put his blood on the mercy seat. The same one that sent the Holy Ghost. The same one that wrote the Bible. The same one that's building a place for us. The same one that went back on a cloud. He's a coming back on a cloud. The same one that went away with a shout is a coming back with a shout. The same one that went away in a body is a coming back in a body. The same one that somebody saw him when he went is the same one that somebody's going to see him when he comes back. The same one in Hebrews chapter 9 that hath appeared, and the same one that doth now appear, and the same one that shall appear, the one that hath appeared as a lamb to redeem, the one that doth appear as a lawyer to represent, and the one that shall appear as a Lord to reign, the one that hath appeared for my justification, the one that doth now appear for my sanctification, and the one that shall appear for my glorification, the one that hath appeared to save me from sin's penalty, the one that doth now appear to save me from sin's power, the one that shall appear to save me from sin's present, the one that was the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same one in Psalm 22 that's a suffering Savior, the same one in Psalm 23 that's a sufficient shepherd. Oh, but the same one in Psalm 24 is a supernatural sovereign. Open yourselves, ye everlasting doors, because the King of glory shall come in. I'm not looking for an angel. I'm not looking for an earthly priest. I'm not looking for an earthly prophet. The Lord himself, this same Jesus, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, and one day he's coming, all glorious day. And I promise you, church, it will be different the next time. The first time he came to a manger. And the next time he comes, he's a coming in the clouds of glory. The first time he came, they nailed him to a cross. But the next time he comes, he'll sit upon the throne. The first time he came, they spit in his face and said, crucify him. But praise God, when he comes again, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I know who's coming. Jesus is coming. The Prince is coming. The Potentate is coming. Emmanuel is coming. Mighty God is coming. Prince of Peace is coming. Everlasting Father is coming. The Great Counselor is coming. The Rose of Sharon. The Lily of the Valley. The Bride of the Morning Star. The Good Shepherd. The Chief Shepherd. The Great Shepherd. The Cornerstone of the Church. Praise God, the Sin Forgiver. And the Burden Taker. And the Prayer Answerer. And the Light Shiner. And the Wave Walker. And the Nerve Calmer. And the Sin Forgiver. And the Grave Robber. And the Need Meter. And the Table Spreader. And the Devil Defeater. And the Blood Shedder. And the Light Shiner. And the Table Spreader. Praise God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God, he's coming. Just let me say, appearing to a neighborhood near you real soon, the King Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. We've not been forgotten, we've not been forsaken, but Jesus is coming, and thank God it could be tonight. I'm not looking at a bunch of man-made signs. I'm not looking at a bunch of charts, but I'm looking for that, listening for that shout when that trumpet sounds. Because in the Old Testament, they sounded that trumpet and it called the people to worship. But when they sounded that trumpet, it called the people to warfare. But when they sounded that trumpet, it called the people to a wedding. Praise God, when this trumpet sounds, we're going to the greatest worship service that there's ever been. And when this trumpet sounds, it's going to be war like this world has never known. But when this trumpet sounds, you talk about a wedding. A wedding in the sky, in the chapel of the King. You talk about a royal wedding. I mean, I know they said it about Cinderella, and I know they said it about Snow White, and I know they said it about Beauty and the Beast, but nobody on this side lives happily ever after. Oh, but you wait till you see Jesus and the church in that gospel chariot, strolling down Hallelujah Boulevard, turning down the corner of Main Street. There'll be a sign written in the blood of Calvary, Christ and the church alive forevermore. And they lived happily ever after. I'm in God's family tonight. I'm in God's fold tonight. I'm in God's church tonight. Praise God, it's a building that cannot be destroyed. It's a blessing that cannot be denied. It's a body that cannot be diseased. And it is a bride that cannot be divorced. It is a battalion that cannot be defeated. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the glory side. I'm listening for the shout, the sound of the trumpet. The next thing on God's prophetic time clock, he'll split the sky, and he's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is a coming again. Woo! The return of the Savior. Number two, when this shall takes place, I see the resurrection of the sleeping. For the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be a great resurrection. You remember Job in the midst of his malady? He cried out in the depths of his soul, if a man die, shall he live again? And it goes unanswered through all of the prophets. And it goes unanswered through the 400 years of prophetic silence. And it goes unanswered in Matthew, Mark, Luke. But boy, when you come to John, He's standing on the banks of Caesarea Philippi, and he reaches up there and he grabs that question, and he said, Job, it's time to answer. If a man dies, shall he live again? The answer is yes, because Jesus said, because I live, ye too shall live also. You know how I know there's going to be a great resurrection? Jesus guaranteed it by his own resurrection. He bases our resurrection on his own resurrection. You know what Paul said to the Corinthian church? He said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain, and we don't have any hope, and we are of all men most miserable. But as Paul Harvey says, page 2, here's the rest of the story. Christ is risen from the dead. I'm declaring to you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that then on the third day he arose according to the scripture, and he is risen, he is alive. Therefore my faith is not in vain, and my preaching's not in vain, and I have hope, and I'm not most miserable, I'm not slightly miserable, I'm not even sad, because I know just as sure as Jesus got up, one of these days the dead in Christ shall rise first. Paul said to the Corinthian church that when Christ got up from the dead, he was the first fruit of them that slept. He was the first fruit of them that slept. What in the world is the first fruit? We'll go back to the Old Testament economy. The owner of the field on the first day of the harvest, he would go out and he would pick one handful, which is equivalent of a sheaf, and he would bring the sheaf, he would bring the handful, and he would bring it back to the house, and he would lift it up and say something like this: Lord, you blessed us this year, and here's a little bit where a whole lot more is coming from, and I just want to wave it to you in the anticipation that a greater harvest is soon to come. Lord, when Jesus walked out of that grave, he was God's handful, he was God's sheaf, he was God's wave offering, and he's saying, Lord, here's a little sample, there's more where this comes from. I'm praising you in anticipation of a greater harvest that's soon to come. For when Jesus shouted at the grave of Lazarus, one man walked out. When Jesus shouted on Calvary, many got up and walked out. But Lord God, hallelujah, when he shouts this time, not one, not many, not a few, but every child of God will shake loose the clods of death and walk out on resurrection ground. Hallelujah, we've got hope beyond the grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Boy, I thought about that sheaf. I thought about that handful. And I thought, where have I read that before? And boy, then it hit me. Down yonder in the land of Moab, there was a woman that lost everything she had. And she had a little daughter-in-law that lost everything she had. But they heard the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. And Naomi says, I'm going to where the bread is. And that little boy, that girl said, I don't deserve it, but I'm going to, and your people's going to be my people, and your God's going to be my God, and where you live, I'm going to live, and where you die, I'm going to die, and where you're buried, I'm going to be buried. And so she came back. Well, this man by the name of Boaz, the master of the field, went down on the first day of barley harvest to pick his sheaf, to pick his handful, but he saw her and he fell in love, and he said to his servants, give her a handful, give her a sheaf, give her a wave offering. And now Ruth is up there in the field praising the great Jehovah God. Man, she's never had anything to shout. shout about. She's never had anything to rejoice about, but now she's out there with the covenant people waving her offering because she met her kinsman redeemed. Lord God, I'm going to be in the New Jerusalem some glad morning waving my hands, not because I joined the church, not because I got baptized, because I met Jesus, my kinsman redeemer. I'm glad I'll be in that number when the trumpet sounds and the saints go marching in. Praise God, ain't no grave going to hold our bodies down. We're coming up out of that grave. Woo! Boy, if you ever get to go to Greenville, find Wade Hampton Boulevard and go down there to where Bob Jones University is, and right across the street up there about 50 yards is a big old cemetery. In that one cemetery alone, you'll find the remains of some interesting people. You walk into the main gate 50 yards on the left under a tree. You'll find the remains of Dr. J. Harold Smith, probably the greatest Baptist evangelist in our lifetime. Well, you leave his grave at about 65 yards over on the right by the curve. You'll see a grave where there lays the remains of Harold B. Sitla, the founder of Tabernacle in Greenville. Man, you go about 40 yards straight and there's a mausoleum. And in that mausoleum, the first little avenue there to the right, about four graves up, you'll find the remains of Oliver B. Green. And then you walk through that mausoleum and you go to the back side of the cemetery in the new part, and laying there in a double wide grave, you'll find the remains of William Churchfull Kelly. You know him as Billy Kelly. I asked him one time, I said, "Billy, why did your mama name you Churchfull?" He said, "Cause honey, when I got there, hey, there was a church full of people already. Somebody asked me, said, why is Brother Billy in a double wide grave?" Bless God, because he wouldn't fit in a single wide grave. Amen. Now that's the preachers. Oh, but wait a minute. There's another interesting grave in that cemetery. Right there where Brother Sattler is, if you'll turn to the right and go four or five graves deep up one, you'll find the remains of a guy named Street Burns. He's better known as Pappy Burns. That man's daddy. And that man's daddy right there. Honey, I got to thinking, can you imagine that piece of real estate come resurrection morning when that, oh, I got a wild imagination. Can I use it? Boy, about that time here, that trumpet sounds. At about that time, here comes J. Harold Smith stepping out of that grave saying, "Neighbor, I'm glad I didn't step over God's three deadlines." At about that time, Harold Sattler comes up and says, "Hey, I told you, my flesh shall rest in hope." Oh, about that time, Oliver Green burst out of that mausoleum and say, "I told you it was by the grace of God." And about that time, Billy Kelly comes marching out, singing, "I'll not be a stranger, and I'll meet you in the morning." And about that time, here comes Pappy. Now, you remember the old days at the camp meeting when he got happy? He'd put a chair on top of his head and walk around. I can see him with that casket on top of his head, walking up and down the Hallelujah Cemetery. You say you're dreaming. Well, don't wake me up. You say you've lost your mind. I didn't come to hear you. You come to hear me. I want to tell you, when Jesus comes, man, can you imagine that little cemetery up there at the Holly Springs? Oh, there's a picture of him right here preaching with both hands in the air. Son, I believe he's coming out of there, and I believe the first thing he's going to ask about, "Give me my horse and let me ride into the city." He'll say, "Cleo, if you want to go, come on. Bless God, we got to go." And as he rides by me and his horse, I'm going to say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." You say you Christians are a bunch of weak-minded people. You just believe in all of that because you're trying to escape reality. Really? Let me tell you something. This world's a going to hell. And and the mountains are going to crumble, and the ashes will take over the sea. And I'm glad when it comes, I got me an escape out of here. Hallelujah, I'm glad. When that sale takes place, Jesus is coming, and the righteous dead shall live again. Hallelujah, what a promise. Woo! Number three, the return of the Savior, the resurrection of the sleeping. Verse 17, the rapture of the saved. Because verse 17 said, we, which are. You know what that tells me? In spite of the real news, the fake news, or the no news, there's going to be saved people on this earth when Jesus comes. You listen to Hollywood and the entertainment world, they'll have you thinking that nobody believes the Bible, nobody believes in Jesus, and everybody's a pervert and a crackpot. Wrong, 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 wrong. We're still here. We're still pursuing. We may be faint and few, but we're still pursuing. I believe there'll be saved people alive on this earth when Jesus comes. And you say, what's going to happen to them? Well, the Bible said in the text that we shall be called up. That little word called up is a Greek word, harpazo, and it means to be snatched away by sudden force. That same word is translated in John chapter number 10, where Jesus says, no man kept pluck them out, seize them out of my Father's hand. No man can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I can't snatch me. The devil can't snatch me. And the world can't snatch me. And you can't snatch me. But one day the snatcher's coming, and he's going to snatch us right out of this world. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be snatched out of this world, raptured out of this world, transported with delight. I don't care what term you put on it. I'm just here to tell you, we're leaving out of here, and we're homeward bound. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm awaiting on my snatching to take place. Boy, I was on an airplane the other day, and this educated lady sat down beside of me, and I know she's educated because she did what all educated people do. She wore her glasses right on the very end of her nose to where it pinched it, and she talked in a high voice, and she looked down and said, oh my, you have a Bible. I said, yes, ma'am, I have a Bible. She said, well, I want you to know, I don't believe any of that. I said, I want you to know, I believe all of that. And I said, and by the way, I believe it enough for me and you both. She said, oh my. I said, let me ask you a question, ma'am. I took up my glasses. I said, ma'am, let me dialogue with you just a moment. I said, now let me ask you a question. I said, do you know how to fly a 747? She said, do what? I said, do you know how to fly a 747? She said, what's that got to do with it? I said, I just talked to that pilot. He lives down the street from my church. He's a born again Christian. So I said, well, ma'am, I just want to tell you, if Jesus comes, y'all have fun. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're leaving out of here. Hey, caught up. We're going to get caught up. You know what the word rapture means? Look it in the dictionary. It means to be transported with delight. Honey, one of these days, this blood-washed crowd, we're going to get transported with delight. See if I can illustrate it before I quit exhorting. Back in science class, years ago, in another dispensation of time, way back in the dark ages, during science class one day, we studied a derivative course called the laws of magnetic field. And they were trying to get us to understand the laws of magnetic field. And so they put a pile of straight pins on this side. then a pile of toothpicks on this side. Now this is deep. I hope you boys from Spartanburg can handle it. Then the teacher took a big old magnet and she held that magnet over top of them straight pins. And when she held that magnet over top of them straight pins, you know what happened? Every one of them pins got snatched up and they met that magnet. Then she took that very same magnet, held it over top of them toothpicks, and bloody, it was like a Baptist church on Sunday morning. They didn't even wiggle. Son, I preached in a church so dead the other day. I prayed for somebody to get up and go to the bathroom while I was preaching. Any kind of move was better than no move at all. I preached in one so dead one time. They called 911 because a feller died. And when they got 911 there, they checked out 15 for they found the one that was really dead. Can I get an amen? Boy, that same magnet had no effect on them toothpicks. Well, the teacher went on to explain in scientific terminology the laws of magnetic field. But that's been so long ago, I don't remember any of the terms. So I'm going to give you a Georgia / North Carolina / redneck definition, and looking this crowd over, you're going to understand that more than you are scientific anyway. All right, welcome to Dr. Joe's class. Here is the explanation of the laws of magnetic field. Are you ready? There is something another in them there pins that gets hooked up to something another that's in that magnet. And whatever's in them pins ain't in them toothpicks. Praise God, I want to tell you, when Jesus comes, something in him is going to hook up with something in me. And that something is a somebody. That somebody's a someone. And that someone is a Holy Ghost. I'm glad we're getting hooked up and we're checking out, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah, that's our blessed hope. Woo! And here it is, and I'm done. And it said, and we shall meet. Woo! Meet. And I looked up that little word, meet. You'll never believe what it means. It means a close, face-to-face encounter. Oh, I saw him at a distance. Oh, but did you meet him? Closely encounter. I'm going to see him when he rides through. But glory to God, I'm going to do more than see him at a distance. I'm going to meet him. Hey, I'm going to meet him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. I done got plenty of glimpses, but one day my glimpse is going to turn into a gaze. For weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hey, quit looking back at your past. Quit looking around at your present. Quit trying to look too far up to your future, and just set your eyes on things which are above. Hey, the trumpet is about to sound, and time's about to be no more. And I may not go in but the prophets, and I may not go in but the martyrs, but bless God, when them sinners saved by the grace of God go marching in, I'll be in that number, praising him and loving him forever and forever and forever. I'm listening for that shout. Woo. That will be heard around the world. Can I quote one more and I'm done? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It'd be worth it all to see him smile and hear him say, "Well done, my child." Whoop! It will be worth every mile of the trip. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, "Glory. I really get to go. You want to go with me? Jesus made a way." Lord, I've enjoyed that word of testimony. Can them girls come back? I believe we ought to just close out this meeting, honey, thanking God that we can go in. Brother, you fell out of the Lord the first time. Won't you fell out of Jody this time? Get that flag back out. And just walk back and forth right here. Praise God. And you get your Bible out and wave at him as he goes by. And I want you to pick it up at the third verse and then close it out. Aren't you glad we got more to go to heaven for? Every time I come here, Brother Scott, every time I preach a meeting like this, I think about all the saints that drove up on the grounds. I think about all the saints' feet that's walked in these shavings. And I don't ever take for granted who rubbed the sides of this pulpit, the one down at the Greer camp meeting. You're looking at a man that's totally unfit and unworthy to stand on hallowed ground. You better believe that, buddy. The only reason why I can is because God's amazing grace. I don't know why he's blessed me like he has. I don't know why he chose to let me do what I get to do. He gave me a wonderful wife who supports me. I told her the other day, I said, "I don't want you to be unhappy, honey." She said, "If I'm with you, honey, I'm happy." Even if she lied about it, it still made me feel good. Blessed me with two fine children who go to church and love God. Blessed me pastor a good church. And then nearly every night of my life, he lets me stand before people just like you and try to encourage your heart. There have been times I've been so discouraged myself. I didn't know how I was going to help anybody. But the helper came. Whoop! And while he's a-helping me, he's a-helping you. Glory, hallelujah. He's glad to be saved tonight. I sat over a while ago, the Holy Ghost whispered in my ear, "I'm going to do something special tonight." Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes, I just felt something. Mm. Mm. Whew. Mm. I believe Preacher Wade just walked by and hit me on the back of my head and said, "Hallelujah." I believe my daddy just passed by and said, "Preach it, boy." God is good. Let's stand together and worship him tonight. You say, "This is a Baptist meeting." Don't let that stop you. It's a Holy Ghost Baptist meeting. Got anybody here tonight that can go in with the sinner's saved? Hallelujah. Sanger girls, pick it up on that third.
It's a of joy, like children at their play.
Brother Joe mentioned, and an innumerable number, they just a step or two ahead of us in reality. They not near as far as you and I sometimes think. They just a step or two ahead of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, this is what camp meeting's all about. Getting help for your heart, for your home, for your church, for your life. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm just glad I can be a little part of it. Oh, my. Remind you next year, the Monday after the first Sunday in August. It'll be August 5th through the 16th. Put it down on your calendar. You can be visiting the camp meetings website now. There's still a little glitch. You got to still put in them www stuff. But Blue Ridge Baptist Camp Meeting, you can listen to these messages again. And give Brother Brian, he's the work behind it, not me. I just say do it and somebody does it. But we'll be putting on messages from previous years. We're going to have some of Brother Billy singing, and Brother Blackburn, and Brother Buck on there, Brother Wade. So be checking out the website, keeping up with the dates, and we'll be putting information about next year's meeting on there as well. I want to say appreciate you being here. If you weren't here, there'd be no reason to gather. But appreciate the Lord more than anything else. Appreciate every church that's come, give an offering, whatever you've done. We appreciate it from the depths of our heart. We're going to pack up here
in a moment or two. We'll put the chairs up in the building and help out with all this other equipment. But we appreciate you. Don't you appreciate Brother Joe and his preaching? Amen. Father, we say thank you. But Lord, that seems so inadequate. But Lord, it's best we got. So Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you that we're going in all the way for your honor, for your glory. We say amen and amen. Shake hands as you go. Your liberty if you're going in.